Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.
We're back. It's as if we've never gone away.
It's been a week since we were last here.
It is. Yes, a week. And what are you going to assail us with this week?
Today we are talking almost entirely about electricity.
Oh, it'll never catch on.
It's
or,
all
as Catweasel used to call it, electricity.
Indeed,
yes.
He did.
Geoffrey Belden, who died recently. This is for anybody younger than half a century. It was a wonderful TV programme.
I thought Catweasel was John Pertwee.
No. No.
He was
Geoffrey Belden.
Similar, wasn't he? He was a scarecrow.
Oh, hang on. Sorry, I'm not thinking Catweasel. I'm thinking of, oh, gosh, who was Geoffrey Belden? Oh, this is terrible.
A listener, we'll get back to you. So we're talking all about electricity, and electricity is big in the news.
No, you're thinking of Wurzel Gummidge.
Well, that's right. Okay.
Yes. Catweasel was this sort of
you can see why
wizard from medieval times who was transported into modern era Britain, well, mid-60s anyway, and was alarmed by things like the talking bone, I think we call telephones, and electricity,
right, yeah.
Was electricity.
Indeed.
So, we have moved on a little bit.
Back to gadgets
since
and gizmos.
Then. Yes.
Yes, electricity. So, the big news this week, or last week, if you're listening to the repeat, is that Volvo have announced they are going to end making petrol-only cars. Not at some unspecified time in the future, but in 2019, a mere 2 years away. And they're going to switch to fully electric or indeed hybrid cars. They plan, they say, to make 1 million electrified cars, as they're calling them, by 2025. This is extraordinarily big news for the automotive industry. If someone like Volvo, huge, you know, a major player, are saying they're going to stop making petrol-only cars, this is going to change things.
Because they are big, not only, of course, in Scandinavia, but in so many other markets. And, of course, one of the things that people were commenting on almost straight away is, do they think that there are the networks of charging stations in all the countries they sell to? Because as you have pointed out in the past, to charge a car overnight requires the same amount of electricity as a house would use in a year. Three houses in a year. So are we then...
No. As three houses would use in a night or in a day, I think.
Oh, I see.
Not in a year. I think you may have exaggerated that one for the purposes of radio drama. But in fact, I think it's three houses would use in a day. But anyway, nonetheless, it's a lot. Yes, but when they're talking mainly about hybrid cars, so that you don't need to charge them up because they use regenerative braking, so they charge up when they brake, and the petrol engine in them charges up the batteries. So things like the Toyota Prius, that kind of thing. So we're not talking about entirely switching to electric cars, although, of course, they are bringing out a couple of wholly electric cars, and it is the way things are moving forward, especially if Volkswagen get their way, because they have just unveiled a new electric concept car, which they called the Gen E Research Vehicle. Gen E Research Vehicle, which is an electric car. It looks pretty much like any other Volkswagen, the difference being that it is charged by an automated robot.
What?
Yes, that's right. So the idea is that this robot roams around underground car parks until it finds a Volkswagen Gen E research vehicle, and it attaches itself to it and charges it up. Yes.
There's so many threads of thought are sparked by that idea. First of all, it's going to be slightly creepy. You're going through a car park and all these robots popping around trying to find cars to charge.
Well, secondly, if the robots themselves, I mean, they can't be that big. So how big can their batteries be to then charge up the Volkswagens? So the robots have to go off somewhere else and charge themselves up. And it takes as long, presumably, to charge up the battery in the robot as it does to charge the battery in the car.
Well, you would like to think that VW's given it some thought.
You would.
They probably, you know, they must have some scientists there who know what they're talking about. So they must have given it some thought first and decided there's some common sense in this.
You would have thought so. But it is just produced as... It's a concept car at the moment, but they have actually built the car and they have built the robot. And it can be seen scurrying around if you search for it. It's a curious thing. But anyway, moving along from electric cars to electric pedestrians. Now, you may remember, a curious segue there, you may remember couple of years ago, we talked about PaveGen.
Oh, yes. I interviewed the chap who set it up.
You interviewed the chap who set it up. PaveGen, for the benefit of those who didn't interview the chap who set it up, they installed electric charging pads beneath football pitches in Rio de Janeiro and in Lagos back in 2016. And so as the footballers were running up and down the pitch, they were powering the floodlights so they could play football at night in places that didn't get electricity. Which I thought was a brilliant idea, absolutely stunning idea. And they have built what is possibly the world's first electrified pavement. Where? Well, it's not in Los Angeles. It's in Bird Street, which is just off Oxford Street in the centre of London. And there's only 10 square metres of panel down there underneath the pavement.
That doesn't sound very much.
It doesn't, but it's enough to generate 5 watts of power, which, again, is not a huge amount of power. It is apparently enough to power not only the lights in the street, but background bird sounds.
I'm not sure I want
this is the world's
electronic background bird sounds.
Smart street. It has background bird sounds. It has little lights. And it has an air purification system that sucks nitrogen oxide out of the air as you walk down it. It is possibly the healthiest street in central London.
Hmm. Have you been yet? Oh, this is coming, or is it there?
It is there now, and I've not had a chance to go down there yet. But I shall certainly hot foot it down there, and I will dance on the pads and let you know how many watts I produce. Assuming it tells me that, I imagine it does.
Hmm.
They would tell you, wouldn't they? There's probably a smartphone app that goes with it that tells you exactly how many watts you're generating as you walk.
Well, okay. Fascinating. PaveGen, yes.
PaveGen.
Yeah, extraordinary.
It is. So, you got all quiet. Are you reading something else?
No, it's fine. I was trying to look up stuff about electric cars and how much electricity you needed.
I know. Yes. So, moving along, the Galaxy Note 7.
Oh.
The good old Galaxy Note 7.
A phone famous perhaps for reasons that Samsung were keenest not to.
Exactly. Well, the good news is they're bringing it back. The bad news is only in Korea.
Shouldn't they wait till winter comes?
They are bringing it back as the fan edition, as they're calling it. Because apparently apparently it was a very good phone, say people who had one that didn't explode. So the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 is being brought back only in South Korea and only in an edition of 400,000, which is not a huge number in phone terms. And they're selling it as the fan edition. So it's for real fans only.
Phones have fan clubs, do they?
Well, it seems that some of them do. There's some strange people in the world, and many of them are in South Korea. Many of them were in North Korea as well, but that's not going to that. They've put a new battery in it, which is not quite as powerful as the old battery, which they proudly proclaim will go through an 8-stage safety test. Now, an 8-stage safety test, if it fails on, say, the 8th stage, then the first 7 didn't do the job very well, did they?
No, it seems utterly bizarre. Well, as we've discussed before, it seemed rather peculiar that they hadn't tested the original Samsung 7 Note batteries properly.
Maybe they only had a 7-stage safety test in those days.
I think that was the problem.
Yes,
exactly. It really needed to be an 8.
They've seen the error of their ways.
Mm. So perhaps every version of the Samsung phone that comes out, that was the Note 7, they only had 7 safety tests. Now they've got the Note 8, they've got 8 safety tests.
Maybe.
So the 9 clearly needs another safety test.
It certainly will. Yeah. It certainly will. Well, watch this space. We'll see how many of them explode.
So you're listening to Gadgets and Gizmos on Share Radio. What now?
Got a couple of Indiegogo things. Well, one Indiegogo and one Kickstarter this week. The first one, the Indiegogo one, it is another electric car, which is the first time I've seen an electric car on Indiegogo. It is called the Scion, S-I-O-N, so kind of like Simon without the M.
Kind of like it is.
It is. It's exactly like, unless you misspell
yes.
Simon. Some people do. And the thing about the Scion is it's covered in solar panels. And they're very discreet solar panels. It looks like a sort of slight checkerboard pattern on the side of the car.
Yes.
And the solar panels, they say we'll be able to power it up to 30 kilometres, about 19, 20 miles a day. So you can get 20 miles a
day. If it has been sunny.
And solar power doesn't really need full sun.
Okay.
You know, overcast sky will do fairly well, not quite as well. Maybe you only get 10 kilometres a day, but there'll be 10 free kilometres a day.
Hmm.
I think that's good. I think that's quite good. I think it's a very nice idea.
Quite an intriguing idea for people who really don't travel very far. And what then do they do for the people who find they've got somewhere? There's another charging system, presumably. You can't just rely on the solar panels.
It's the usual thing. You just plug it in, as you do with... And this is the real problem with all electric cars, is saying you just plug them in is all very well if you have your own garage or driveway, or if... You know, if you live somewhere where you're lucky enough to be able to park outside your own house. Mm. In London, in most big cities, you can't often park outside your own house. In fact, I remember some years ago when I lived on a house where there was no parking outside because it was a main road. I ended up drawing a map of the neighbourhood on the fridge, and I had a little magnetic car. And when I parked the car, I would put it in the place on the map where I'd parked it so that I... or my wife, which is going to use the car next, would know where to find the damn thing, because it could be anywhere. It could be miles away.
That's quite clever. I have that problem in my street. It's not such a big street that necessarily needs such a clever device. Let's just speculate for a moment, because you have talked on Gadget Gizmos in the past about new ways of charging devices around the house, you know, your standard thing, that instead of actually having to plug it in, you put your device on something, which then charges it.
Inductive charging. It's great... it's great for low voltages over small distances.
So we don't think that cars, for instance, could be charged when they stopped in a particular place using inductive charging?
No. No, the inductive charge has got nowhere near powerful enough for that yet.
So let's go back then to the Volvo story. And given the problems you've got about charging it, Volvo, as you say, are switching to electrified cars, non-petrol-only cars, by 2019. That's only 2 years away.
Yes.
It's going to be a bit of a problem for Volvo if they suddenly find lots of countries don't have enough charging points for their
drivers. It will be a major problem for them, unless this firm in Israel, who have developed the five-minute car charger, you remember that?
Oh, yes, we talked about that. But we haven't heard anything since.
They are certainly, you know, working hard at it, and... if and when they manage to do it. So they're talking about a five-minute car charger and a one-minute phone charger. I mean, if they manage to do this, they will make a fortune out of it. So I'm sure there are investors around the world flinging money at them to get to go as fast as they can.
Slightly worried if you try charging a car battery in only 5 minutes that we might be seeing another Samsung Note 7 story.
It is certainly possible.
You don't really want to plug your car in and suddenly find that it's caught fire. That would be unfortunate.
That would be most unfortunate. But then 5 minutes, if it works, 5 minutes is the equivalent of filling up with petrol at a petrol station.
Yes. That would be fine. As you point out, the problem now is that it takes a long time to charge the car, and that's fine for the first use of the day. It's a bit more problematic if you're trying to go to Newcastle and you're having to stop halfway.
The smart charging points, some on the streets, a lot of car parks these days have half a dozen.
But it does take a long time, which means that as of now, you can't really use an electric car for going on a relatively long journey, because you have to stop in the middle for a long time to recharge the car.
Right. Well, they have a reasonable range. So this one, the Scion car, remember we were talking about the Scion car a little while ago? The Indiegogo one. It has a range of 250 kilometres, which is 180 odd miles, which is quite good. I think that's a reasonable range for most journeys. People are not going to take many journeys for longer than that. So let me just talk about this car for a moment. It's called the Scion. It's a four-seater car, and it'll sell for €16,000, about 14,000 of your English quids. And actually, that's quite cheap for an electric car. That's pretty good. The thing about any kind of crowdfunding, as people who got burned know, that very often you plonk your money down and then you don't actually get anything at the end of it, because they find that they can't make them, they go bust, they miscalculate the manufacturing cost, the development costs. A lot of things can go wrong along the way. And I reckon, in my own experience, about a quarter to maybe a third of crowdfunding projects don't actually ever materialise, despite you having given them your money.
And this one involves a great deal of money in development. We're not talking about, you know, an electric pencil.
They present you with several options. You can pre-order it for €100.
Mm.
And then that will get you one. They'll get you then the chance to top that up to the £14,000 when they actually make them. Or you can pre-order it for €500 with the option of getting your money back if they go bust or if you change your mind. Although,
yes,
actually,
if they go bust, how are they going to pay your money back?
I know. Yes, I know. That's a tricky one. Or you can pre-order it for €2,000 and you get 5% off the cost of the car. Or there are other options where you can pay a bit more and you can get more off it. I think if you have written one, you can pre-order it for €10,560 and get 12% off. But putting down €10,560 just on the off chance they manage to make it is a bit of a gamble. Anyway, I think it's a very clever idea. The solar panels is ingenious.
It looks fun. It does look like something, you know, you could see that wandering around on the streets in Blade Runner, frankly. It's sort of nice, it's neat, it looks pleasant.
It looks like a real car, whereas most electric cars don't. They look like toys. I don't know why. The G-Wiz, for example, is the ugliest car you can imagine.
And yet, all these ones that we talked about, they still have driving wheels and they're still... None of them seem to be autonomous as well as electric. Is this for the two separate things that are being developed in the motor industry at the moment?
No, that is absolutely true. That is, no. Well, there are. I'm sure there are autonomous or electric cars that will come, but let them concentrate on one thing at a time.
All right. We'll be back in a moment.
Sharing ideas about money. This is Share Radio.
Melodious sound that tells you you're listening to Gadgets and Gizmos. I'm here with Steve Kaplan. What are we going to talk about now?
Well, we're going to talk about underwater. So, not an electric one. This
Stingray.
One. Stingray.
Going back to 60s TV
programmes. Yes, leave the 60s TV programmes out of it for the moment. So, I don't like beaches, as you know, but I do like snorkelling because it's quite fun and you can swim around and you can look underwater and you can see the fish.
You often have to go across the beach to get to the water, of course.
That is the downside. And the trouble with snorkeling is you can't go down very far because the water goes into the top of your snorkel, unless you've got one of those clever golf ball affairs at the top that stops it. So I
could never get those to work properly, but yes.
No. Yeah. I did once try scuba diving, which is like snorkeling, except you have to wear this hugely cumbersome tank on your back. You have to wear weights around your waist. You have to put ridiculous quantities of clothing on, and then you have to wade across the beach, looking like the creature from the Black Lagoon in your ungainly gait. And then when you get down there, you feel so distanced from what's going on because of the mask and the suit you've got on that it's kind of like watching it on TV, and you don't get the immediacy that you do with snorkel. So how would it be if there were a compromise between the two? Well, it seems that now there is. It's a Kickstarter project, and it's called Scorkel, S-C-O-R-K-L. And what the Scorkel is, it's a tiny aqualung. It's an aqualung about 9 inches long, which is 23 centimetres or so for those who speak metric. And it doesn't strap onto your back. It just attaches directly to the mouthpiece, so it dangles from the mouthpiece, and you hold it in your mouth. And the Scorkel gives you 10 minutes underwater. Which is pretty good, I think, for going down, having a little rummage around and coming back up again. I think a 10-minute scuba dive without all the gear, with everything, will be absolutely wonderful. The good news is there are two ways of filling it up, either from an aqualung, should you happen to have one, although if you had an aqualung, you probably wouldn't want to buy a snorkel as well.
Yeah, true.
Or you can pump it. It comes with a bicycle pump. Well, it's not really a bicycle pump. It's a specially made bicycle pump that does up to £3,000 per square inch, which is a lot in terms of bicycle pumps. Usually it'll go up to a couple of hundred, absolute maximum. The bad news is it takes 12 minutes to pump it up, which is a lot of pumping.
So that's quite a lot of pumping, and if you're using a hand pump, at the end of 12 minutes of excessive hand pumping, you're going to be too tired to do 10 minutes of underwater swimming.
Yes. Yes. So you probably have to pump it up in two. They recommend pumping it up in two stages, partly to save your muscles and partly to let it cool down while it's pumping up. But I think it's a really, really clever idea. They are asking $269 Australian for it, which comes out to about £160, which is 33% off the final retail price, which will be, can you work that out?
Well, about 220-ish.
Good, exactly.
Is that right?
It's 240.
240. Oh, yes, of course. 16 times 3 over 2. Yes, sorry.
Exactly.
Okay. Right. There are quite a lot of warnings on the Kickstarter page, aren't there?
There are a lot of warnings about the bends and that kind of thing. Because of
don't use it below 3 metres, which is sort of 10 feet or so. No more than 5 times in one day. And they sort of worry about ascending or descending too quickly.
Well, scuba diving is something you have to be taught because you can very easily cause yourself a nasty, and they don't want to get sued by people who order these things and, you know, use them excessively. So that makes sense. If you want to get your 33% off and you want one of these, it ends on July the 8th, so very, very soon. After which, it'll be available for the full price on their website. And I was talking about this morning to my wife, who said they should get these into tower blocks, and they should have, you know, one for each family member. And then if there is a fire in a tower block, people could give them 10 minutes of safe breathing.
Indeed, anywhere, frankly, because it's anywhere, the smoke that causes many of the problems often.
So maybe not this one at the rather inflated £160, but there must be, you know, a simpler way of doing these pre-charged that that people could just have. I think someone should develop something like that.
So this is called Scorkle, which is S-C-O-R-K-L.
Yes, indeed.
OK. Time to move on, then.
And finally, we talked a little time ago about the turtle.
Oh, yes.
T-E-R-T-I-L-L.
Yes.
Remember what it was, the turtle?
Isn't that a robot that weeded the garden for you without you having to wait for Bopper Job Week?
Or without having to charge it up, because it was a solar-powered robot.
All right.
You simply let it loose in your garden and it just spends the rest of its days wandering around weeding for you. T-E-R-T-I-L-L, I assume it turtle. Maybe it tills. Maybe that's where the turtle comes from. Because it certainly looks nothing like a turtle.
That would have been a great moment in the pub when they worked that one out.
I'm sure it was. Anyway, we talked about it. It is now available on Kickstarter for $249. That's £190. If you have the kind of garden with flower beds that are sort of neatly arranged and space between them, then this could be the thing for you. Personally, I could see no use for it.
I saw a video of it online. It looked quite clever, but clearly the big problem is, you know, how do you stop it chopping down your plants? Because you can't really distinguish between the weeds. You've got to find some way of demarking your plants.
If your plants are more than, I think it's 6 centimetres high, then it won't. If it feels them on its sides, then it won't chop them down. Only things that go underneath it.
Oh.
So small weeds. But then, of course, they'll only be small weeds because the weeds won't have a chance to grow big.
Steve Kaplan, thank you very much indeed. We'll be back with another Gadget and Gizmos at the same time next week.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.